were talking about balance at Albany.
Well, they overdivided it, and now they come back together again so that they have the professional schools of public affairs and social welfare and social services and police science and political science, graduate and undergraduate on the lower campus, and they have their own separate library there, and that makes more sense than the way they were before. Well, they had to do that because they were using one of the dormitory towers for the School of Public Affairs and some of the people in political science. And of course, they had a recapture of the dormitory for dormitory facilities. And they still have a dormitory problem.
Well, we're going to have to do something with the space in the library, given over the offices. They'll need it for pushback.
Well, that's going to be another problem that a lot of institutions within the university are going to face. I think in particular the university centers.
Continue to grow. Well, how do you see Stony Brook now? As a, where do you think it's come and where do you think it ought to go?
Well, I think that I would hope that, from my point of view, that it would be one where it would be not so much involved in further expansion as in more in integration and in trying to improve in quality.
Quality faculty? Quality of students?
I think quality of faculty, yes. I think that, I don't know how you deal with the, I think in general, you know, State University and most of its institutions is doing pretty well quality-wise as far as students are concerned. I think the problem in the future is going to be one of, not being too closed door. I think they're going to have more of a problem that way to keep the doors open than they are in terms of improving further on the quality of their students. I think that's a difficult question to deal with.
By keeping the doors open, not expanding. How do you do that?
I think you have to become. I think you have to become more of a higher. You have to become more of a upper level institution.
Go in a direction like graduate work, more graduate students.
Well, more students in the upper division the last 2 years. I think that the open door situation has to be dealt with primarily through the
colleges.
And then as they
But then you have to, you then have to deal with a situation where you're going to have a, you have to have a limited number of students at, in the first 2 years at any university center. I don't think that you can have an upper-level institution without freshmen and seniors, without freshmen and sophomores. I think you need to have a, I think you have to have a reasonable balance in the 4 years, but that doesn't mean that you can't have more students in the upper 2 years than you had in the first 2 years. And then this ties in again with, particularly with the, with the graduate program, you know, and with dealing with the, with the opportunities for graduate work and tying in the last 2 years with the graduate program. And if you have more students in the upper 2 years, I think it buttresses your graduate program. I don't think most students really can or should, in most cases, make the decision as to what their ultimate major is going to be.
I shouldn't concentrate too early.
Right, yeah. Right, right, right.
I agree.
But I see a great, great place for the university centers in this respect. And it seems to me that this is a proper function for a public university. I think that this will probably happen in, it already is happening in the City University in New York. Because they've got a long way to go in the development of the graduate program. So much, I can think of much farther to go even in State University, in the University Center School, with the possible exception of Albany and maybe.
Well, I think, let's see, should there be any questions addressed to Chancellor Horton now that he has?
I don't know. I would give him the opportunity to say anything that he wanted to say. On the other hand, I think that he has, with this development of his new program for the development of graduate programs and research for the university, which he just has had approved by the trustees, I think that they did a very good job in that respect, and I think that is, I think he's pretty well spelled out what his ideas in that area are, and I think he's also spelled out pretty clearly what he feels, how he would like to see and what he thinks the university needs to do for its own governance, you know, and independence. So that I don't think that he probably could have much more to say than has already been made clear in those two reports. But he may have other things that he might feel that he could make in terms of students and faculty. I don't know what his feeling is about how he sees the university in terms of serving the different kinds of public that need to be served and where students, or how he feels about the matter of faculty
the test or the fact that I don't know anything about. And I haven't seen anything in particular that he has made in the way of public statements that have recently addressed those two areas. But again, I'm not being associated with the university closely for some years now.
When did you retire?
1960.
You retired in 60?
I retired in 71.
I retired in 71.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm sure there are in-house studies that they have made that they haven't made public that he might be willing to comment about, but I don't know what they would do, because those things go on, I'm sure, all the time.
I'm going to turn this off.
I think you have to assess your situation as far as facilities are concerned, before you can determine to what extent you can go further. You know, in other words, as far as the master planning is concerned, I think that, first of all, you can indicate what you feel are reasonable further growth, both undergraduate and graduate is concerned, in terms of programs and curricula. But also, it seems to me that you have to combine that with the need for equipment and facilities that will properly accommodate whatever your objective is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to couple the two together. You know, they can't be answered separately. You can't approve one without a realistic approval of getting the other. And I think such things as getting your humanities people together in closer physical proximity to one another is important.
Yeah.
And I think the library requirements are important. But I think that this isn't something that's peculiar to Stony Brook. I mean, this is true of any of the campuses that you have,
even the two-year
program. I think that the university has got to make some kind of a forecast, you know, as to what they see as a reasonable development. I don't think you can go too far into the future. I think it's very difficult to, you know, plan beyond
right.
5 years ahead, but I think you ought to make some attempt to try to realistically look as to what you think you should be doing for the next 5 years. But I think Stony Brook has got a particular responsibility because of the large public that has to be served in the Long Island.
Right.
I think that's a lot more still a growing situation, you know.
Yeah.
And for the most part, you don't have that in most of the metropolitan areas up there.
There's one factor that is is a difficult one for us. Yes, we've got a lot of students being produced on Long Island and in Manhattan. But it seems that the brighter ones, if they can find acceptance elsewhere, want to go away from home.
Mm-hmm.
So, they either go out of New York State or they go upstate. They can go to Albany. And we do not recruit actively. Our admissions staff is small. We just take people as they come to us. We don't. So that we do not get students from upstate New York in large numbers. Or an adequate number this year. I think the association is that somehow we are right in the middle of the city or something of that matter. Which we're not. We're not. We're out in the country.
You get some money from New York City?
Yes, we do. Yes. But we are, at the undergraduate level, we're regional. At the national, at the graduate level, we're national. We tend to be more national.
Yeah, well, I think that's reasonable. That's reasonable. Well, I don't think that's something that's illogical. You know, I think kind of the logic of the situation will continue to determine where the students come from, you know, undergraduate students particularly. I think that, and with the great change in terms of financing, family financing, kind of education, it's awfully hard to predict where that's going. I would have to say right at the moment it looks like that it's going to become increasingly difficult. I would have to say that of all the states in a way that scholarship-wise, you know, the New York State does more by far than any other state in the country.
You mean the region's scholarship program?
Yeah, and the general student aid program on a scholarship basis for New York State. So that I think this does give some opportunity, you know, for students that want to go away from home and want to go still to a state college, a state university. And I'm sure that I don't know just what the student composition of you know, by residence for the various for the state university centers is, but I'm sure that the bulk of the undergraduate students, at least as far as Stony Brook, Binghamton, and Albany, and probably Buffalo, do not come from their immediate region. I mean, there is a
do come from there, they do.
No, well, they know a storybook. But I don't think they do at the others.
Yeah. Ours certainly come from, I think, a radius of 100 miles.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd say the Stony Brook is more a regional college or university than the other two.
Yes, but they have to go outside because, well, I don't know about Buffalo. But Albany and Binghamton have to go outside to get this, to get students being taught.
As a matter of fact, the students from commuting areas take around Albany, they have to have a pretty high academic high school record in order to get in. And I think the same is undoubtedly true at I think Buffalo perhaps is more similar to Stony Brook, but I don't know the figures as of the present time to say that. But I think that may well be true in part because they really don't have as extensive dormitory facilities to accommodate them.
Yeah.
That many from outside the community.
Well, thanks very much. Where you suggest I go?
I don't understand the relationship from Frank Abbott's book on the establishment of Stony Brook. Or is that you just doing that for yourself?
I think he probably stopped before Stony Brook came into the picture.
Yes, he did.
He did?
Yeah.
All right. That's all I want to know about it then.
Okay.
Frank was my assistant dean at Bucknell.
Mm-hmm.
Looking from the American Council.
I'm sure that book has been in the Blue Trustees files for much longer than before 1960. Let's turn off the tape and I'll go get the book and just
have it published.
Okay. Martha Downey has suggested Frank Moore's papers, and book by Oliver C. Carmichael, Jr., New York, establishes a state university. Nashville, 1955, Vanderbilt University Press.
I think most people around here would point to the Rockefeller years as the years in which the university really got its impetus toward becoming the kind of university that we see today. And certainly, it was without a doubt Governor Rockefeller's baby in every sense.
Where did the Hughes report come into the picture? Because it was calling for that sort of thing in 59.
I can't answer that. I don't know.
When did Rockefeller become governor?
I'd have to look that up.
I need the chronology both of the governors and of the chancellors or presidents.
I just don't have it right in my head.
Right. I need to get the district straight. Board of Trustees. Who preceded Mrs. Moore? Is that Frank Moore?
No, it was Chris Phelan. And we've got him on your list to contact.
Okay.
And then Frank Moore was chairman before Chris Phelan. And then I believe, I'm almost positive that Oliver Carmichael King was chairman of the board prior to Mr. Moore's appointment. There hadn't been that meeting, of course.
Those are the questions that I had. Some of them are wouldn't apply.
Well, the thing is, Carl, a lot of this I can probably research for you in my files for the Board of Trustees. It's just that I personally don't have it. Let me do that,
if that's all right.
Well, as best as possible, I would like your help, because obviously I don't really have that much time to set aside for this.
I understand. All right. It's a question of what you have in recall.
Well, what I have is a set of three by five cards, which cross-references all the Board of Resolutions adopted since the start of the university. And my secretary and I understand that filing system so that, you know, we can research that sort of thing and find, for example, these are the cards that I pulled from the early years, from when we first thought of a college on Long Island. And I thought if you could go through there, and these are summaries of the resolutions.
Right.
Anything that you find that would be of interest, then we can pull them out of the minutes for you.
Good. All right.
So I think the best thing to do is
to work,
is you can start a list.
All right.
And
all
we can
right.
announce that you want to. Right. And,
you have a...
I have a set of two file drawer cabinets. A set of what we call our archives that was prepared by the former secretary to the president, who has since died. And in that, there's a lot of good historical material also.
Yeah.
Probably not an awful lot about Stony Brook, but about the university as a whole. I guess what I'm saying is I think that I probably would be the person to access a lot of things from the standpoint of the Board of Trustees and archival kinds of things about the history of their university.
All right. Then let me go through those folders. I will put on tape some of the things that I find there.
Okay.
And I may come back.
Well, what you can do is anything that you find in here that you would like a copy of. I can't promise that I would direct it today, but we could get it done for you through the week and mail it to you. I haven't had a chance to even open the folders. I have no idea
what's in there.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
All right. Well, those are Frank Moore's folders.
Yeah.
This is the report of the Temporary Commission on the Need for a State University, printed in Albany in 1948, legislative document number 30, Owen D. Young, Chairman, Oliver C. Carmichael, Vice Chairman of the Commission. Act creating the commission was Chapter 353 of the Laws of 1946. Under the section entitled General Conclusions, the first paragraph, the state of New York is confronted with a serious problem in the field of higher education, the implications of which reach far into the future. The great upsurge of demand for opportunities for higher education, though of relatively recent origin, according to all indications, is likely to continue unabated. This demand is not being adequately taken care of today and will be even less well met in the future under the state's existing facilities and type of organization. Macedonia made available a stack of 3x5 cards dated from March 55 to June 65, all relating to actions of the Board of Trustees with regard to Long Island and Stony Brook. I've asked her to go through and Xerox this material for us, starting with a file of Frank Moore's entitled University at Stony Brook, 1957 to present. A memorandum of Dr. Carlson, who was president then, in January 57, Frank Moore, entitled Background of Activities on Long Island. At the bottom, he said, in 1953 and 1954, we found that the one overall organization that was willing to drive for public education on Long Island was the Citizens Committee for Public Colleges on Long Island. Through this particular organization, we have been able to gain the support of a number of important organizations such as PTAs, school veterans, schoolmen, unions, and management.